I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Still here. Friday into Saturday. Inside the 1 o'clock hour on The Fan in New York. AM. KM to 2 AM. I thought I was going to come in here and talk about how Karl-Anthony Towns was questionable with a wrist injury, but still went out there in 27 minutes, did his thing. I thought I was going to come in here and talk about how if Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall and them are clicking like that, they need to go ahead and make some more trades, maybe on the defensive side of the ball to shore up this run because there's some winnable games coming up. That we got plenty of time for that. But while the wound is still fresh with the loss in the World Series for the New York Yankees, and we are freshly into the offseason, I mean, I can't go against the crowd. I can't go against what you guys are talking about. So 888-808-1019, back to what you guys want to talk about. Garrett is in Denville, New Jersey.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks good, for taking good. My call. Yeah, I'm a Dodgers fan, actually. Like a real one, you know.
You Dodgers fans are all tuned in to drink these Yankee tears. The parade wasn't enough today?
No, not really. Gotta drink in some more. No, I'm actually, I don't know. I'm calling because, yeah, I'm hearing a lot about Judge. And listen, I'm with you. I think he's a stand-up guy, and he had a historic season. I mean, one of the best offensive seasons of all time, right? I mean, he's obviously on this trajectory for a Hall of Fame. I would compare him, like, to me, like a Clayton Kershaw. For my entire life, he's been like a stable presence on the team. Obviously, regular season dominance, but you know, I mean, I'm not saying that they haven't had their postseason moments, both Kershaw and Judge. But they're if you just look at their numbers, it's significantly lower statistically.
That was the thing about Kershaw, not a postseason performer, can't get it done in October.
Yeah. And I guess what's your take on, you know, what is the, you know, what's the reason for this? Is it just a much smaller sample size, which it is?
No, it's a large sample size now with Judge of postseason underperformance.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's been enough postseason runs to be like, okay, what is it? Are the teams like holding back a little?
You know what it is, Garrett, and thanks for the call. You can't be a 320 hitter and then bat under 200 in the postseason. You can't be a prolific home run hitter, the most prolific home run hitter, and then like strike out every time. You can't hit for average and have this high OPS and then that just disappears. It can't be day and night. It can't be just, you can't turn into the opposite player. Like, it just, you can't be a hero and then a zero. That's what it is. Like, you're not Alex Verdugo. Like, you have to be what you were to get them there when they get there. That's the whole plan. I don't know how many times I got on during this run. I said, there is no plan to overcome Judge's struggles. If Judge struggles, we don't win. I was saying that in the DS, and people got mad at me. I think they misunderstood what I was saying or how I tweeted. I think I missed a word when I tweeted. I think I said there's no chance of anything with Judge. And people got mad, like, wow, you're quitting on him. I meant to say, like, there's no chance of winning anything without Judge. He's your number three hitter. He's your MVP. He's your highest paid player. He's your captain. There is no Stanton carrying us to a World Series championship without Judge. There is no Soto carrying us to a World Series championship without Judge. If they go as Judge goes, and that phrase was never truer than that fifth inning starting with the error that he had. The end. Andrew is out in Queens. Andrew, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How's it going tonight?
Good.
Keith, I just got to say before I get into my points, you know, one of my all-time favorites on The Fan was Tony Page, and the fact that he passed the mantle down to you and Mac, I love the energy, man, so keep
Shout
it up.
Shout out to Tony. Every time I get to catch Tony, he's doing great. For the update on him, Tony just came back. He spent some time in Africa last month, and he's living life and doing well, and shout out to him. I know he put in a lot of hours doing the overnight, and it's not easy to do.
Yeah, no, I didn't think I'd enjoy this man as much as I would after he left, but I have to say that I'm impressed with you and Big Mac for the most part, two of my favorites on the fan.
Thanks.
I just wanted to say, no problem, Goose Gossage nailed it. You know, he really did. You know, maybe it wasn't the bullpen that ultimately did them in, but I have to say, back in the day, we know that there's only one Mo Rivera. But when Mo came in, on other nights, you always trusted Mo, of course, but you had Stanton and Nelson. Here, there were players, there were pitchers they could have went out and got at the deadline. That would have, I'm not saying, I'm not going to knock the Yankee bullpen, but guys maybe could have grown into certain positions, but I never felt as if they made the effort to go out and get like a Josh Hader, Padar, however it is.
Josh Hader would have been in the offseason, but Michael Kopech, like the Dodgers added, was available. Tanner Scott, Padres added, was available. They added Eniel De Los Santos and DFA'd him. They added Mark Leiter Jr. He didn't even make the CS roster until Ian Hamilton got hurt.
And the last thing I want to say before I let you go is, you know, Boone's a nice guy, but this mentality, it's like a woke mentality. You can't say this to this one. You can't call this one out.
It's participation trophy era. It's super soft. Thanks for the call, Andrew. That's what we're in. It's crazy to me. It's professional sports. These are big boys. These are millionaires. You know, like, shout out to Stacey Ward if he's listening, because Stacey went and found me on LinkedIn and he messaged me about last night how I was saying, like, I'm raising my son to be a man. I'm raising my son and it's going to be hard. And I'm already hard on him to the point where my wife is like, he's a baby. Take it easy on him. I'm like, it starts now. It starts now. There's too many softies out here. There's too many, here's your participation trophy, pat you on the back for failing, for not being prepared. Get them next time. No, why don't you get them this time? What if you don't get another time? What if this is your only shot? That is life. So I don't care. Because I know the work that I've put in is going to make my son's life a lot easier than my life was. There are no participation trophies in my house. When he gets old enough to hoop, I'm putting a hoop in the backyard. You got to see me. When he gets old enough to play baseball, I'm throwing him batting practice. You're not done. Get back in there for some more swings. Take some more ground balls. And when it comes to football, which I actually played, he's not going to want to practice football with me. I understand what it takes. Let's go to Justin in Floral Park. Justin, you're on the fan.
Keith, always a pleasure to talk to you. How are you, brother?
I'm good, you know.
Listen, Goose basically stole a lot of my thunder. Gonna keep it short and sweet.
Goose started using some words where I'm like,
dude, I mean, I was listening on hold something. I'm like, oh my god, okay, you're
yeah. So
that,
you heard it on hold.
I did. I'm like, damn, we got we got the Howard Stern station
I'm like,
now.
Yep. Yeah, well, that's the end of the leash because the next thing out of his mouth might be.
I didn't know Keith. You went to XM. I'm like, damn. All right. But, Keith, we've talked about it all summer, Keith, okay? Cashman knows how to build a regular season team. He has no clue how to build a postseason team. The Dodgers knew that they could run on the Yankees. The fundamentals were not there. How do you throw a ball into second base and nobody's backing up? My son's 12U Little League team knows how to back up throws. Are you kidding me? I couldn't believe what I saw, Keith.
Me either.
When Ohtani went from second to third in that inning.
The image of Ohtani roaring on second, he looked back at the crowd to celebrate with a, he wasn't even looking at the ball.
Yeah. It's unbelievable to me, Keith. And that fifth inning, I'll never get over that. How does Cole, I get it, you threw a lot of pitches, but dude, you're in spring training, you know to cover first base. You're a veteran.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you got to buckle down. You think Randy Johnson's not covering first base?
If Pedro's not covering first base? But you got to sprint towards you. You know what it was?
Right.
I had this conversation with someone today. I was watching that inning, and I was watching Cole's body language, and he was trying to keep his composure and keep it together as they were failing him. And you know what he thought? He thought that he didn't have to bail himself out. He thought Rizzo had it.
Yeah. I mean, come on, guys, pick me up this one time, Rizzo. There was no way Rizzo was doing it. I mean, that's another thing. Rizzo, I'm sorry. Thanks for your services, but it's time to move on from Rizzo.
He's done. He had too many gaffes at first base postseason.
And here's the thing, Keith. Where do we go from here? Because, I mean, even if we bring Soto back, I still don't think it's enough. I mean, we don't have enough pitching on this team. And Keith, the Dodgers had so many pitchers that were out.
That were hurt.
And they still beat us.
And Ohtani's going to pitch next
year. Yeah. I mean, they had no Glass now. They had no Gavin Stone. They had no Kershaw. And they still whipped the floor with us. And
Tony
Flaherty
Gosselin
was garbage.
Yep.
I mean, Keith, I'm sorry. We should be playing tonight. It's embarrassing. And the fact that the Yankees are going to be like, oh, well, you know, we got to a World Series. That's not good enough, in my opinion, man. This team should have won the World Series. And like the previous caller said, they did not go all in for it at the deadline. They should have brought in more bullpen help. And that's why I'm so sick of Cashman and so sick of Boone. They should get rid of both, but they won't do it. And you know they won't.
I know they won't. So we will suffer. Just be prepared for more pain. I've been putting in pain for a long time. I just got to laugh it off. I just got to laugh at Dodgers fans chanting F the Yankees at their parade today. Here's something I wanted to play for you guys. Teoscar Hernandez signed a one-year deal with the Dodgers. He is a dog. When I talk about dogs, he is a dog. You know it. And you saw it. And he could have been had by any team. He's played against us with the Mariners, he played against us with the Blue Jays. He really found it with the Dodgers. And I want to play this clip of him talking at the parade and then make you think about something after you hear it. Let's play what Teoscar Hernandez had to say to the Dodgers fans after their season ended in a World Series. I like his game. He's a guy that this year won the Home Run Derby. He's a guy that had some big moments, and he said he likes the bright lights. The Yankees should sign him. The Yankees should go get him, straight up. The Yankees went to go get Juan Soto, and when Juan Soto's season ended, he didn't say anything about thank you for coming to get me, making me a Yankee. Thank you, Yankee fans, for welcoming me in and treating me like a lifelong Yankee, a homegrown Yankee. When the season ended for Juan Soto, which I know losing the World Series versus winning the World Series are opposite emotions, but in the moment, once it's all over, and you're in the Yankees clubhouse, you're in Yankee Stadium, you're in the Bronx, you're in the Yankees building, and you sat in that dugout and watched all of that, how come there's no part of you to thank any of the Yankee fans and have some compassion and leave your Boris Korp hat out of it? Leave your Boris Korp coached up phrases out of it about I'm available to all 30 teams. You know, would Juan Soto, if the Yankees had won, would Juan Soto have been emotional like Teoscar Hernandez? Or would Juan Soto have just been like, yeah, thanks for the ride. I'm available to all 30 teams. 888-808-1019. Rocco's in Saratoga. Rocco, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, he. Rich Goose Gossage. Yankees management.
I had to tap him out. Like, hey, enough.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know he was a big cat fan. I he must own a lot of cats.
What do you mean? Oh, God. It took me a second.
I can't say what he said. You know that. No. He likes cats. Hey, nothing wrong with that. No, you know what the Yankees are missing? And Goose hit on it. With Thurman Munson, who should be in the Hall of Fame, no question about it.
Yeah.
You look at catches in his era, it was Bench, Munson, and Fifth, the three best catchers in the 70s. Why he's not in the Hall of Fame? Batted 292 as a catcher. the year. He won a league MVP. What else does the man got to do? Come on. Hey, Goose, get him into the Hall of Fame. You're in there. Talk to the committee.
We're working on it. That was part of the last time I saw Goose, you know, part of the message at the gala. We're working on it. But now it takes the Errors Committee. It takes the Veterans Committee to vote him in.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, we got to do it, Keith. And you got to keep on hammering them. Look at this guy.
I talked to Lon Trost about it. He said there's nothing he could do about it. I've talked to the Yankees about it. It's about the players, the Errors Committee. And I think some of those older players have moved on or passed on. You know, like Fred McGriff just got in. But, like, the players in his era are active
right now. That's later.
Yeah,
he was the 80s. I mean, he was the Yankees. You know, the Yanks had Fred McGriff. They traded him away because they had Mattingly at first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, McGriff was a Yankee in the minor leagues. But anyway, but they are missing grit of the 70s. Munson, Pinella. You know, Nettles.
Yeah, because that was before cell phones and mental health, and we gotta be nice to everybody, and everyone's gotta be treated like.
No, they were not nice.
We don't want these guys to go into their shell, and then we'll get nothing out of them. Then cut them.
Right, Lou Piniella. You think Piniella be nice to anyone?
No, it's just a different time now.
No way.
That's what I say. It's just cupcakes. Everybody's mad soft.
They were tough. They were rough. We're the Yankees. We're the best. Come and mess with us.
That's what it was supposed to be. That's what I thought it was. That's why, as a kid, you latch on as a fan. Thanks for the call, Rocco. Like, RWTW, roll with the winners. As a kid, you want to be a Yankee. You want to play for the Yankees. You want to put that Yankee hat on. It gives you a Superman cloak. Now, it's a dunce cap. Now, you get laughed at, pointed at, roasted. Now, I can't open my phone. I got to turn the notifications off. I got to delete apps because I'm getting cooked. James is out on Staten Island. James, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? Great job tonight. And everything Goose said was just the perfect cherry on top.
Yeah. He's crazy. But it comes from a place of, like I say, love. A place of, like he's embarrassed. He's in Colorado, embarrassed as a Yankee.
He didn't say anything wrong. Every single thing he said, I think everyone listening agrees with. But I was really calling in because I haven't really heard it getting talked about too much anywhere. And it was, look, we were the one seed throughout the whole AL. When we got to the World Series, we lost that home field advantage. How many games did we blow throughout the regular season? We finished 4 games back behind the Dodgers.
If anybody's talking about it, it's me. I'm the one talking about 4th of July getting swept by the Cincinnati Reds. I'm the one talking about late in the season dropping games to the Tigers, to the Nationals, to the Cardinals. You can't afford to do that. I'm the one saying in your final homestand, don't lose back-to-back series in the final homestand because all you got to do is clinch. Because maybe if you had 5 more wins, you would have home field advantage, which plays out in the World Series. I don't know, man.
And I'm thinking back in starting from 2018 when we've always been the lower seed, losing to the Red Sox. Every times we lost to the Astros, being the lower seed, maybe once. And then you look at this year, we were the top seed in the AL. And look, you know, the
they don't care. It's part of the laissez-faire status quo approach. When I'm on the Fan every night screaming about these games, people want to say, "Oh, you Yankee fans have 162 one-game seasons." No, the hell we don't. We know simple math. We need these games. What? You can't blow these games with Clay Holmes because you want to be right. You want to be so right that Clay Holmes is your closer, that you'll blow game after game after game after game after game and then go to Luke Weaver.
Mm-hmm. Can I make one more point?
Mm-hmm. Sorry for yelling.
It's just stupid.
It doesn't make any sense.
I was calling and literally take out my frustrations because I've been just watching the replay of the last 3 days. But I'm going to word myself very carefully here because I don't want to make a bad point. But look, Freddie Freeman was clearly very comfortable in the box. He knew when he was stepping into that box that he was going to take whoever he was pitching and he was either going to send a yard or hit it really hard.
Yep.
Don't you think that we should have pitched him a little bit more inside, maybe, you know, pitched at the feet a little bit, that all they kept talking about was his ankle. You know, shouldn't we made him a little more uncomfortable in the box?
Yeah, or just pitch him inside to check him and see what type of time he's on. He's sitting, he said he was waiting on the heater. He was waiting on the heater all series, MVP.
He could have set up camp in that batter's box compared to everyone else. Like,
thanks for the call, James. 888-808-1019. I've got 30 minutes left. If you also follow me on Twitter, I quote tweeted Dom, who's at Bronx Bombers. He said, I wonder how many of these games the Yankees won. And I said, don't tell me that's baseball, Susan. That's damn sure not Susan's brand of baseball. So he had the box score from that first game against Seattle, if you remember when they came here. And people were getting on the fan saying, Yankees can't beat good teams. We were talking about the Seattle Mariners as a good team. That was the narrative with some of the shows that come on earlier in the day, that Yankees can't beat good teams. But they left out the fact that the Yankees were up 4-1 in the ninth inning with an out, and then Clay Holmes proceeded to blow that game. They also have the score bug from Kansas City when we went out there in June and should have swept them. It was 3-2, bottom of the ninth with one out, and Clay Holmes, their closer, who the general manager, and captain were in lockstep on this whole season. Yeah, you know, he's one of the best in the game. And they lost that game. Oh, also, Boston. Yeah, they're up 3-1. Masataka Yoshida, remember that? I don't even want to go through the rest because it doesn't matter. It's just so dumb. It's so arrogant. It's just so wrong. They want to be right so bad that they're wrong. We all knew. Clay Holmes ended up being somewhat useful, a weapon in the postseason in other spots. But you let this man blow 13 saves? If you had half those games back, you would have had a better record than the Dodgers and could have had home field advantage in the World Series. So, like, man, I don't know what the future holds. Don't ever tell me, like, when I come on here yelling and screaming about something like that, don't tell me it doesn't matter. Don't tell me there's a lot of season left. The math is the same in April, May, June. Like, all these games, once you get into the regular season, yo, it matters. And seeding matters for a reason. 888-808-1019. Let's take a break here so that I can get back and take more calls before my show ends. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. Thank you for listening. Call up now. We'll be right back. I wonder when something will happen in New York sports to really be able to wash out the Yankees' embarrassing World Series conversation. It's going to take a while, and it's going to take a lot. Aaron Rodgers is the song that doesn't end. And, you know, I know the guys tried to do it today, talking about all the Jets and the playoffs and Aaron Rodgers and Garrett. Nope. It's not really a thing until they actually, like, go on a run. It's one game on Thursday night against the Texans. The Giants, there's nothing about the Giants that's going to happen that's going to be louder than this. Maybe if the Mets sign Juan Soto. Yeah, that'll do it. Maybe if in a month and in a couple days, the Mets sign Juan Soto or the Yankees sign Juan Soto, that will wash out the conversation about how embarrassing the Yankees were in this World Series. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Matt out on Long Island.
Hey, Keith. How you doing tonight? Thanks for taking my call.
I'm good. You got
it. Listen, I'm going to make some few Met points. I'm a Met fan and free agency. And I think it is signing Pete Alonso. Because I know it's crazy. I want Pete Alonso back. I'd rather have Juan Soto. Not saying Juan Soto is better, but listen.
You can have
Pete
both.
Pete Alonso takes the... Yeah. But Pete Alonso, he takes that diamond every day. It also, Mark Vientos, he's not a first baseman. He could barely play third. He's great. But I think we know what Pete Alonso means to this team. I think it's something special here. I'm not talking about a fan perspective, but like he has the ability to carry you. And I just think, like, you know what he's going to do. I don't want to see him wearing pinstripes in the Bronx.
He's not going to.
I think the Mets, I think the Mets, like, get Pete Alonso back. I don't know what this owner's going to do. But, like, if you heard what Ron Darling said, some of the great players. Maybe it's not why they spend $300 million on one player, but you know there's going to be teams that's going to want Pete Alonso, and that's like they're going to have to change so much of their infield. It's just I really don't want him to walk. I don't want him to make the mistake.
I don't think you have to worry. I don't think you have to worry. Thanks for the call, Matt. I talked about it during the season. Pete Alonso having a down regular season brought the price tag down. Now, obviously, the heroics in the postseason might have brought the price tag up some, but he's your guy, and you have the richest owner in the sport who basically told you he understands what Pete Alonso means to the team and the fans and the history. And, like, Pete also said he wants to stay. I don't know how many times he's got to say it. So, like, they're going to meet in the middle. And I think it works out for you as well, because once Pete gets paid, I think all the pressure is off. I think he has a better year in the regular season than he had this past year. So I wouldn't even trip off that. I just think that, like, Juan Soto is the first order of business for the Yankees, for the Mets, for a couple other teams, and then let the chips fall where they may. I don't know how much you guys think Pete Alonso is going to make, but he's not getting Freddie Freeman money. He's not getting Matt Olson money. Maybe, like, AAV, but, like, not the years. Not the years. Maybe not even AAV, yo. Like, it's just... It isn't a contract that Steve Cohen is losing a second of sleep over. And if David Stearns wants that to be his first baseman, which I think he does after what he saw, they're going to get that done. So I wouldn't sweat that one. I'd be waiting out the Soto news. And whether you get Soto or miss out on Soto, Alonso's going to remain a Met. They can afford it. They can match any offer. And Pete is not going to throw away what just happened in October. It's not. I don't even know. I wouldn't trip over that at all. Remington in Manhattan, back on the Fan. Go for it.
Yeah, Dr. Remington, thank you for your therapy. You certainly helped me from leaping to my finality off my fourth floor apartment.
Yeah, thank you very much. We're going to be all right. The Yankees will be back. The winter will pass.
But thank you. I really appreciate that. And you made a very insightful comment. I didn't even think about this until you said it, until you mentioned it, about Soto not thanking or grateful for the Yankees or the organization. I thought that was very cogent on your part.
Yeah, they went and got him. They gave up seven players to bring him to New York. And like, not for nothing, like, I am blessed. I know more than I let off. I know more than I can put on the record. But like I know how well they treated him and his family while he was here. Like, is that nothing? Yeah. Is that meaningless because of your coaching from Boris? It's like high key disrespectful to, I don't know. It's over. It is what it is. The press conference is over. Not the chance of him coming back.
Keith, is that a hint to his character? I know you can't judge. No one's here to judge except God.
It's certainly a window into his soul and into his heart, yeah, and into the man that he is. Like, he's not loyal to anything besides the dollar bill. He's not loyal to, like, he doesn't, like, as much as I thought and a lot of us thought, even Susan Waldman thought that he fell in love with it here, I think he fell in love with it more than he fell in love with San Diego or Washington, D.C., but that's very easy to do. But as far as, like, him being a Boris client since he was a teenager, him and Boris have been waiting for this moment. It didn't matter if the Yankees went and got him. It didn't matter whoever traded for him. This is their moment. There are no more games in the 2024 season. He's a free agent. He has been coached up for years to get here and say, I'm available for everybody. But I just would have liked it to be like, now's not the time, especially after a crushing loss, especially the fashion that they lost and the way that they lost the series. Like, I think that it just could have been handled differently in the post game. And from what I heard, it went on for a while. But not for nothing, yo. This is New York, where some of those New York reporters cover the Mets and their Mets fans, and they could not wait to get those questions in. They could not wait to talk to Juan Soto about that stuff. They liked being kind of, you know, I won't use certain words, but they liked taking that shot, and they liked throwing those questions out in Yankee Stadium to that young man. I thought that, you know, he could have handled it differently after a team gave up so much to get him and just treated him, you know, a certain type of way and his family while he was in pinstripes.
And the last thing, Keith, before you go, October 30th, 2024, a day that will live in infamy. I think you know what Roosevelt said in
Yeah.
December 7th, 1941.
The Nightmare Before Halloween. Thanks for the call, Remington. I call it the Nightmare Before Halloween. Mischief Night. The Yankees played a prank on all of us. Tom is in Bergen County on the Fan. Go for it, Tom.
Always a pleasure, Keith. Thank you so much. There's a million things that I'd like to talk about for Yankee baseball, but I just want to concentrate on one thing. And I know if this is, I'm totally self-aware of a 50-year-old Little League coach calling into a radio show to a host that's talking about raising his young son and the whole thing. But a Yankee fan, common ground, Derek Jeter is in the Hall of Fame. He caught every ball he could with two hands. Aaron Judge has been blessed with a 280-pound frame of muscle, 6'7", and two hands. He came in and tried to use one hand. If he used two hands, I couldn't call you right now. He missed the ball with two hands. I couldn't call you right now. He missed that ball with one hand. I know it sounds dopey and basic, but if he used two hands...
And his eyes were not on the ball.
It might not be a nightmare.
Yes, and his eyes were not on the ball. He did not look it in.
I love that dude. I respect that dude. That was yippy. Like, he's got some yips a little bit. And I think they kind of figured out a little bit with that batting stance thing, but it took too long. You know what I mean? It took too long. Like, he's locked in way earlier. I think he got hit in the ribs.
Yep.
That kind of hosed him a little bit. You know, that Guardians.
ALCS, yes.
And then they exploited that on that every slider. I mean, he was in the box. It was 0-2, and you knew that slider away was coming. And he was, the head of the bat was out, whatever. I could talk so much. I just, like, you know what I mean? But it's so hard to watch.
Yeah, you coach it and you see it in real time, and that makes it even tougher, because it's like, it's like you know it. You just know the behind the scenes.
Yeah. Well, you know, we look forward to, I guess, you know, if the last caller referenced Pearl Harbor, you know, I guess we won that war, so maybe...
This has got to be the start of an origin story, Tom. This has got to be the start of a comeback movie. Thanks for the call, Tom. Like, this has got, like, if it's driving you nuts as a fan, it's got to drive Aaron Judge insane. Anthony Volpe insane. Austin Wells insane. Jazz Chisholm, I don't know. Like I said, not for nothing, you know. I'm rooting for Jazz. I remember when I was in high school, and this has nothing to do with it, but it's a phrase that this, you know, teacher used on me. She said, "Are you going to be all flash and no substance? Like, are you going to be all swag and sauce and drip and have nothing else?" And I had her break that down to me, and I'm like, "No, you gotta bring it, man. If you're going to do all of that to bring attention to yourself, you got to bring it." And he did bring it, but he also left a lot to be desired earlier in the postseason, and where they're batting him cleanup. He hit the home run back to back after Judge, and he had some plays, but like, for a guy that kept talking about winning the World Series, just be quiet, bro. You don't have to say that. You're a Johnny come lately. You're a Miami Marlin. You have not been here. You have not gone through what we have gone through. So to be every opportunity you get talking about 28 winning the World Series, I knew, be careful. Be careful with that. I didn't like it at all. And you know what? I tried to give him the, okay, your thoughts become things. Speak it into existence. Not when you were a ghost. Not when you were a ghost in the CS. Like, not for nothing, but that's part of the problem. Like, I don't want players like that. Shut up. Go to work. Handle your business. I don't care about your chains. I don't care about your big-ass medallion. I don't care about your belts and your Jordans and your gloves. That's the era we're in with these guys. They're all trying to go viral for their bat flips. They all want to have the coolest sliding mitts. They all want to showcase their personalized Jordans that somebody painted for 5 hours. None of that matters. Mario's up in the Bronx. Mario, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how are you?
Good, good.
There's so many points you guys touched on, and one just now. The coolness of the dance, and I'm going, am I losing it, or they're high fiving and dancing,
Jazz
I just hit a base hit and scored a run.
He's got
high fiving and dancing
with his home run trot. He goes past first base, he shoots the basket, he does the Euro step, and it's like, dude, like, we don't, like, I get it,
You're setting yourself up for a big letdown when you don't do fundamentals, man. When the fundamentals don't work, all of a sudden it's, well, wait a second, and then you're riding high with all these high fives. Now, back in the playoffs, just I'm going to point a few things out as a guy from the 70s, and I want to say the fans from the 70s, okay, threw batteries. I don't condone it. I'm just trying to tell you.
But yeah.
I'm just trying to tell you the way it was, okay? It's a historical point, that's all. I don't condone it. And you know something about that fan reaching the glove? Well, the fielder wasn't necessarily ripping that glove back really quick. He just kind of left it there, and it was an out. So the guy's out. So why is this such a big deal? He wanted the ball. He's like a guy on a couple of beers. And give me that ball.
Yeah.
You know, and the guy was out. It's like
he sprains Mookie Betts' wrist. We might have some lawsuits. We might have some other
things. Well, it didn't happen.
Right.
Okay, so look, I keep hearing everybody for the last couple of days, you know, again, from the 70s. Billy Munn, you know, the umpire was making bad calls on, was it game four, even a little bit in game three. Billy Martin and Ralph Houck even would have been out there throwing dirt on the umpire. This is not Boone. Here's what we're going to get with Boone. We're going to get a home run, but you don't win the series. Okay? And I'm not slighting what he did as a player that day, but that's what you're going to get. You're going to get a home run, lots of dancing, and you're not going to win the series. So
yeah, that's all flash,
I think he's taking
and not
the
enough
team.
Substance. Like, I think I don't
he's taking
need
the
it.
He's taking the team as far as it can go. Now, you say, what's going to let us forget this? We got to get a manager in who's a little bit more, you know. Yeah,
not happening.
Yeah, get a manager in, and when the fans start seeing fundamentals and the defense, I said this in the middle of the thing. I posted it on YouTube. We're not going to outslug in a World Series game. You can't give up this many runs with and not play defense. So, and the Soto thing. You guys, you just explained it. We're going to have to deal with that, with his attitude or lack of. So you better watch out about that.
Right. Hey, he showed you his honest, like, true colors. He's all about himself. Thanks for the call. In team sports, you can't be all about yourself. In team sports, even if you are the greatest person, you got to defeat your ego some and understand there's a time and place for everything. There's a month to do all that. I understood it, but I was, like, turned off by it, you know? Like, not then. Not after a terrible loss like that. The fans are feeling it enough. These kids are feeling it enough. There are people that went out and bought World Series patch Yankee jerseys with 22 on the back. There are people that, like, they were miserable the way the Yankees lost. And then to see you just separate yourself and say, I'm available to all 30 teams. And, you know, even when they asked Juan Soto about the fans, like, how about the fans? How about how those fans treated you? Does that sway your opinion anymore? He laughed and said, like, might sway the Yankees ownership. I'm like, damn, that's cold-blooded, boy. You a Boris client all the way. Boris Corp, they had you in Boris Corp 101. You took all the courses for the last few years. You were ready, huh? In Yankee Stadium, in the Yankee clubhouse, the World Series, the world media, New York media. Ooh, you didn't even, there was no way to abstain. It's crazy, right? Joe is in Nassau County next up on the fan. Go for it, Joe.
Hello. Hold on. Hey, how you doing?
Good. We're running out of time. We got to be better than that. Vernon in Freeport, you're on the fan.
How's it going, Keith? Listen, I'm hurt. I'm devastated. That fifth inning, I'll never forget it. But moving on now. It's over. There's nothing we can do. Can't get it back. Next year, we know we're going to lose at least four people that's on the team that played this year, Verdugo, Torres, Rizzo, you know. But moving forward, is it possible to keep Juan Soto? If we do, if we're able to keep Juan Soto, is it still possible to add like an Alex Bregman, players like that?
Yeah, they have money coming off. They have a ton of money coming off. Yeah, just the players you mentioned, Gleyber Torres, Verdugo, Rizzo, Tommy Canley, Clay Holmes, Tim Hill, Jonathan Loaisiga, they won't be paying Donaldson next year. They need to figure out, they have money coming off the books. They can. It doesn't have to be Juan Soto, and sorry, that's it.
Right, that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that if we do keep him, and I know he's going to get 600, maybe 650, whatever the case is. So we pay him
that can't cut us off. Because if that cuts us off, then it's not worth paying them.
But see, that's the thing, right? Like, they got to be in the Juan Soto sweepstakes, and they got to go, like they got to go to a further extent. They extended for Cole. They extended for Judge. Even though Judge left money on the table, they got to the number Judge wanted. They got to extend for Juan Soto, but they cannot extend. If they do land Juan Soto, they can't say, hey, that's it, we can't do anymore. Like, extend for Juan Soto and show these fans that you realize Juan Soto doesn't fix all the problems that you have and you have to spend more. You need another starting pitcher. Rodon sucks. The Rodon experience sucks. We signed him for $127 million. He needs to be, he can't be a game two starter for us. Like, he's not like that. Like, you need another guy. You need another guy. Go out and get one.
But we also need bullpen help. It's a lot. We have a lot of holes.
The bullpen, I trust them with the bullpen. I don't know if they're going to go buy bullpen arms in the winter. I trust them with the bullpen. They better at it at the deadline. That's when you, like, they didn't do it, and that's what disappointed me the most. They added Jazz, Mark Leiter Jr., and Eniel De Los Santos. And like, they DFA'd Eniel De Los Santos. Mark Leiter Jr. didn't even make the CS roster. So really, what you got was a Tim Hill, a Tim Mesa, who they picked up off the scrap heap, like, who they literally got for free, for nothing. And that's what Cashman likes to do.
No, he does. And he does a good job with the bullpen.
He
finds these people and you have no idea who they are.
But what I'm saying, if we're talking about the offseason plan, I don't need them to go out and sign like a Josh Hader like they didn't do last year. Josh Hader got signed by the Astros. They didn't get very far.
You can't really depend on him in big spots anyway. I don't trust Josh Hader.
They need a first baseman. They need another guy in the outfield. If they can get Juan Soto, cool. Then they could probably put, you know, Dominguez in left field. Maybe Spencer Jones comes up, whatever. They need a first baseman. They're going to need a second baseman because I don't think they're going to extend for Gleyber Torres.
They don't. But don't you think that they could put Jazz at second and then sign a real third baseman?
Then maybe do that. I was about to say, if they want to move Jazz to second instead of trying to have him play third and sign a real third baseman that has way more experience than him there, yeah, potentially. Thanks for the call, Vernon. We're running out of time. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross is back on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? It's been a minute. How you doing, man?
Good, good. Go for it.
Listen, you know, I was talking to C-Mac last night, and I think, you don't need me to tell you this, but and it makes the losses all the more worse, but I think the fact that you guys are in the driver's seat for three out of those five games and the two you weren't in games two and three, the fact that you saw signs late, I mean, it kind of shows that I wouldn't use the word peak. I feel like they've basically done all they can in that American League. I mean, we were talking about all year teams like Baltimore that people would call in night after night and say Baltimore is better than you guys, went down in two games against the Kansas City team that everybody followed up and said, you know, Kansas City was no match for the Yankees, same with Cleveland. They were basically write-offs and people trying to discredit your AL playoff run. And teams like Baltimore, Houston is outmatched against Detroit, too. I feel like they're basically at a point where they've basically done all they could do in the AL. That's even considering bats like Verdugo, who's pretty much all but gone, Rizzo, where you want to, you know, some of these bats where you look at them more often than not are pretty much, I guess you want to say, automatic outs. So if they go in at a guy, even Soto, listen, I at the end of the day, I think Soto is staying with you guys for the rest of his career. I personally take a lot of these post-elimination press conferences with a grain of salt. And I know more often than not, you do hear something along the lines of, you know, my heart is here. If I could stay here, I would, and stuff like that, or I really haven't thought about that. But I think at the end of the day, you take all that kind of stuff with a grain of salt. But just overall, I feel like, you know, despite going down in five games, you saw – They weren't completely outmatched like Arizona last year.
They blew it. They fumbled the bag. They pissed down their legs.
Really,
they got cute and got God. And that is unforgivable. Thanks for the call. Last call goes to Get Your Popcorn Ready. It's Popcorn Rob.
Like always, man, thanks for taking my call. Hey, yo, Keith. Now, I'm going to say this, man. The winner, listen, man. Love thine enemy, because the enemy is what makes the victory bittersweet. Mm. So just as the Dodgers, you know, was victorious with that, you know, that win on this World Series, the Yankees will always be mentioned in that conversation. So I look at it as, you know what, They was the American League, you know, pennant winners, champion. And they just got to, you know, kind of like.
They ended the drought. Judge is going to be an MVP. You know,
they
won the division.
But I want to say this, Keith. At the end of the day, man, give him an opportunity, man.
Of course.
Stop talking about.
Hey, let me say that, like, before I'm out of here. Give him an opportunity. I'm in this for life. I'm not going anywhere. That's why I'm passionate about this. That's why I'm fired up like this. I can't leave. Give him an opportunity. I will. I'll be at spring training. I'll be at opening day. We don't leave. We're not quitting. We're not giving up. We're holding them accountable. That's all. Somebody's got to do it. You found the right one. They put me on the mic a couple years back. 3 years now. You got the right guy. Coming up next is Pete Hoffman on The Fan. Talk to you Met fans. Maybe he'll talk to you Jets fans, Giants fans, Ranger fans. I don't know. Shout out to Hoff. He's going to come do his thing. I'm out for the weekend. See you Monday. Have a good one, everybody. KM out of here. Peace.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.